So now we have Dr. Hingstrom. He is an associate professor in the section of surgical oncology in the Division of General Surgery at the University of Utah. He completed his Doctor of Medicine at the University of Chicago, his general surgery residency at the University, his Doctor of Medicine at the University of Chicago and general surgery residency also at the University of Chicago Medical Center, a two-year clinical research fellowship in surgical oncology and tumor immunology at the surgery branch of the NCI. And then he spent 2 years at the MD Anderson Cancer Center, completing a fellowship in surgical oncology. His medical practice now at the Huntsman Cancer Institute and the Intermountain Medical Center focuses on melanoma. And he has research interests in clinical trial development and survivorship issues in cancer patients. And he'll be talking to us about how genomics are relevant to the practicing melanoma surgeon.
Thank you very much, Dr. King and Dr. Pass. To say that I'm flattered to be invited to speak today would be a gross understatement given the expertise of the previous speakers. So thank you again. So I have no relevant disclosures for the coursework we're going to discuss today. And I just want to go over the goals briefly as we start to review the clinically relevant genomic testing in melanoma, and specifically the implications for patient management. We're going to focus more on stage three disease, as a lot of you may not be active in surgical oncology and may only see a few patients in melanoma during the year, but certainly there's a larger role in stage four disease. And then we'll go through some of the testing details. So what are the applications where we might be doing testing in melanoma? For diagnosis, it can be used to help with, but however, histopathology has been the gold standard. And with prognosis and surveillance, maybe. And what I'm getting at there are gene expression profiling tests available now, such as been discussed in breast cancer and other cancers previously, that can help to either predict response to chemotherapy in the future or to predict recurrence or circulating tumor DNA. The only problem with these, and clearly there are some commercially available tests that have been recently introduced, the only problem with these is that there is no prospective validation that's mature that we can firmly put our hat on to know that these are helpful in making decision makings, and they should not be utilized for treatment decisions outside of the auspices of a clinical trial. So these aren't really ready for prime time. But where we're going to spend most of the time is on the treatment of advanced disease. There's definitely a role for genomic testing for melanoma for that. So which patients do we consider genomic testing? So if you forget everything that you heard today, and this is the only slide you can remember, this is what you should remember, that any melanoma patient being considered for systemic therapy, so all stage four and resected stage three patients. At present, there's no defined role for somatic mutation testing in initial diagnosis and treatment of stage one and two melanoma. This is through the NCCN guidelines. There's no real reason to get BRAF or other mutational testing for patients with early stage disease. And again, I'm talking about limited to the primary site in the skin and those patients who may have had a sentinel node biopsy that was negative. It's important to understand a little bit about the targeted pathway that impacts melanoma the most, and that's the mitogen activated protein kinase or MAP kinase pathway. Again, this has been described earlier. There's external stimuli that when interacting with the receptor cause downstream activation of protein kinases that are important for proliferation, survival, and invasion of tumor. The specific driver mutations that have been identified in melanoma primarily have focused on the BRAF and downstream at the MEK protein kinase level, but also have been identified at the NRAS level as well. The most common somatic mutations present in melanoma include the BRAF V600 mutation. Again, these are activating mutations seen in about 50% of all melanomas, and there are multiple FDA-approved treatments for stage 3 and 4 disease. I mentioned earlier NRAS mutations, which are also activating mutations seen in 10 to 30% of patients. And while it does appear that this may be a great target for treatment, there's no FDA-approved treatment at present, and there are ongoing studies involving MEK inhibitors that can be utilized for this. And just briefly, KIT mutations have been identified in melanoma patients and have been targeted as part of palliative therapy for patients who harbor those. And again, these mutations are typically mutually exclusive. So the most relevant mutation in melanoma care today is certainly the BRAF mutation. It encodes a cytoplasmic serine threonine kinase. present. The most relevant, the only relevant one is are located on the codon 600 and involve point mutations and substitutions. The most common one you may see in a report would be the V600E mutation. And again, for those of you not familiar with melanoma care, there's no role for BRAF-targeted treatment outside of a codon 600 mutation, and it's definitely contraindicated in BRAF wild-type. If you give a BRAF MEK inhibitor to a patient that's BRAF wild-type, it'll actually do worse. So why should you care? I mean, again, there's a lot of people here who may only see a few melanomas a year, and Dr. Labuti eloquently put this before. The field has changed, and we have to keep up to date, and we have to stay abreast of how we can help out our patients. There have been recent breakthroughs in systemic and metastatic adjuvant therapy, and also important changes in the surgical management, which we won't go over today. Genomic testing directly impacts treatment options for stage 3 and 4 melanoma patients, and we end up being the gatekeepers in diagnosing many of these situations. If you haven't been reading up in your journals on surgical oncology, there's been a whole world of change since I entered practice back in 2010. Prior to that, there were only two drugs FDA approved for metastatic melanoma. None of them had been shown in a randomized controlled trial to have an overall survival benefit. The median survival was somewhere around 6 to 9 months. And there really wasn't a relevant genomic testing for prognosis or response. And today, there are over 12 drugs FDA approved, and they involve both immunotherapy and targeted therapies. And the median survival has been improved to over 24 months. And specifically, genomic testing, as it applies to this talk, that can predict response to targeted treatment, which in the past there was none. We've talked a little bit about the basics behind immunotherapy for cancer treatment. The main successes have been in checkpoint inhibition, again, taking the brakes off the immune system by blocking naturally occurring down-regulating systems present within the tumor cell itself and the antigen-presenting cell. The most successful agents have been PD-1 inhibitors and also anti-CTLA-4. However, as it pertains to this talk, the current biomarkers which have been studied, the most common one is PD-L1 expression, are unreliable to predict any treatment response in melanoma, except in some certain advanced tumors or certain advanced cases of pretreatment. And so we won't be talking about them much today. However, on the oncogene target side, BRAF-MEK inhibition is where most of the money lies. There are six agents, BRAF inhibitors and MEK inhibitors, which have been, which have utilized these mutations, if found, to improve survival and progression-free survival in stage 3 patients. The special thing about these is that they can literally rescue patients with high tumor burden very fast. There's response rates of up to 80%, proven survival advantage in both stage 3 and 4 therapy. And the only problem is that patients are becoming resistant to these drugs as they're treated, and immunotherapy has to be incorporated at some point in the majority of their care. So to get through just the systemic therapy options in 2018 for stage 4 melanoma, as you can see, chemotherapy was the standard back before 2010, and there's been a massive improvement in overall survival. Some people have durable responses. Long-term survival is achievable for these patients. But what hasn't really changed for the practicing surgeon is that most of these patients present with localized disease. Surgery alone cures a lot of these patients. And we often diagnose and initially manage advanced stage patients. We're still doing wide excisions with or without sentinel node staging to help treat the primary tumor and risk stratify. But again, in this situation, no role for upfront somatic mutation testing at present. Well, so we often diagnose patients with stage 3 melanoma. The majority of them will be sentinel node positive. Some of them will come to you with bulky tumors. And we often still do surgery to resect bulky metastasis. We're doing a lot less surgery for patients with microscopic metastatic nodal disease based on the recently published MSLT2 trial and the DCOG German study, which showed no benefit in survival for most patients in that situation. So then you're left with your patient who fits into some version of stage 3. This is the updated AJCC risk stratification here. You can see the differences between stage 3A and 3D. There's a 10 to 70% risk of recurrence and death at 5 years. It's a widely heterogeneous group. And you might want to consider adjuvant therapy, just like other cancers, because you want to decrease or delay recurrence and also potentially cure the patient. Prior to just this past year, that was very dismal. The breakthrough has been mostly in PD-1 inhibitors and BRAF-MEK inhibition, which was recently published in studies this past year. And when looking at adjuvant BRAF-MEK inhibition, this publication by Dr. Long over 1 year ago now showed a tremendous RFS benefit of over 20%. That hazard ratio of 0.5, if you're sitting in the back, you can definitely see there's a difference there. It's one of the most striking PFS curves for an adjuvant study in all cancer. This is, again, compared to placebo. And those patients clearly have a benefit. It's across all stages of stage 3, so 3A, B, and C patients were included. And this, again, is the most direct application of splenic mutation assessment for patients with melanoma in the stage 3 setting. And for adjuvant immunotherapy, I don't want to forget this, because the majority of patients with stage 3 disease will receive immunotherapy as their first line of treatment. There is an improvement in progression-free and hopefully overall survival, which hasn't been demonstrated yet because of longer follow-up is needed. But at present, there's no genomic testing to predict efficacy either here or in the metastatic setting. So again, just to conclude, we know we're going to need to use adjuvant therapy. You should get BRAF testing at the time that stage 3 is diagnosed. And other investigational aspects of this right now, patients who are borderline resectable and not sure if you should be operating first or treating first, why would you want to do this? These people have like a 75% chance of recurring and die from their cancer at the time of surgery, as my old mentor would say. They recur as you're getting to the PACU. And so it's an opportunity for us to decrease morbidity, improve PFS and OS, and maybe find some useful biomarkers. But again, everyone is being recommended to be put on a clinical trial if possible so we can learn more what to do in this situation. There's very few published studies. This is the most applicable one to the talk today from MD Anderson, published this past year and was presented about 2 years ago at the SSO, a neoadjuvant study involving BRAF-MEK inhibition prior to surgery, followed by adjuvant BRAF-MEK versus surgery alone, which is standard of care at the time. And again, this had to be stopped early by the IRB because there was such a profound improvement in PFS, and so many centers have continue to study this in the adjuvant setting. Lastly, I just want to review briefly the options for somatic mutation testing, understanding what you may need to order. There are DNA-based PCR tests which look for specific somatic mutation testing. So the most common ones are the laboratory methods that are institutionally individualized. There are companion diagnostic tests which have been validated and approved by the FDA that were developed in the setting of clinical trial data. This is the COBAS 4800 and the THX-ID test. But again, most people, when they order these tests, will order them through their own institution. There's also an emerging field for development of immunohistochemistry to detect protein expression at the cellular level. There's only one antibody really in use outside of investigation, and there's not been much validation for that. Next generation sequencing is what we use routinely when we need to determine genomic testing for patients. However, there is some expense which often has to be considered when you're trying to order these tests. So what to send? Most assays require FFP and samples, which can be hard to do from primary tumors. Ideally, you'd get it from a metastasis. You'd take it from your tumor resection or an FNA of a newly diagnosed stage 4 disease. There is some decent concordance between metastasis and the primary tumor. So if you don't have a metastasis or you're treating somebody with a brain metastasis, they need to know right now, you would go after their primary tumor. But we have to be careful and study that more because there may be some differences that could affect treatment outcomes. Again, this just summarizes those different techniques. There's some pros and cons. There's some cost associated with the more broad-based PCR testing. But again, they may offer a more thorough view of the genome and other actionable mutations for the future. So the bottom line is you got to work with your pathologist, medical oncologist to determine the best test at your institution. Specimen selection is critical. You play a role in that when you operate on your patients. You may need to send the tissue out, and not to forget about expense. Don't have a lot of time to talk about future directions, but there's a critical need for biomarkers for response to immunotherapy. PD-L1 expression has not been as good as it is in lung cancer to stratify therapy. Liquid biopsies will become more important to test for response, early response to therapy, potentially switching therapies for people with more advanced disease. And we're looking for more gene expression profiles with prospective validation for improved prognostication. So genomic testing in melanoma patients currently is focused on stage 3 and 4 patients only. This mainly manifests in BRAF V600 testing in some flavor. Adjuvant and neoadjuvant approaches are tailored to tumor genomic profiling, and that these methods do matter, and that future refinements are certain. Thank you very much.